Del Cusky versus Highland Management.
Good morning, Your Honor. If it please the court. This appeal was taken because the district court refused to assess costs in accordance with a Rule 68 offer and acceptance. Rule 68 of the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure specifically provides that costs are included with an offer and acceptance unless the parties specifically state that they're not included. In this case, the offer of judgment did not address costs at all. The acceptance, however, was very clear in accepting the offer plus costs. The offer was made only 2 business days before trial was to begin and was accepted the business day before trial was to begin. The plaintiff gave up her right to go to trial in this matter. The offer itself contained a number of errors, including misidentifying the plaintiff and the defendant within the body, and it appears to have been hastily prepared. The defendant's negligence in preparing their offer should not benefit them. They failed to address the issue of costs, and by operation of law, Rule 68 specifically provides that costs should be included. The defendant does cite to Nordby, however, that case is very distinguishable from this case because in Nordby, the statute involved was the Illinois Sales Representative Act. Although attorney's fees could be sought in that case, attorney's fees were not defined specifically by statute as being costs. In a Title VII case such as this one, the statute specifically defined costs to include attorney's fees. Therefore, denying costs on the basis of Nordby was incorrect. It's also noteworthy that the defendant in their offer referred to their own costs on the second page of the offer. However, they are silent to the costs of the plaintiff and the costs involved in the offer. The offer was accepted. It was very clear that costs were to be included. 2 weeks elapsed before the judge entered the judgment for costs, and the defendants did not move to alter or amend or do anything to the judgment at all. It was on the judge's own motion, basically, that he denied costs later in May to the plaintiff.
I gather you assumed that the $30,000 judgment was to be added, the attorney's fees were to be added on to it when you received this offer.
Correct, because it did not address costs, and reading Rule 68, Rule 68 specifically says that it will include costs.
Did you find it strange it wasn't addressed in the offer?
No, I did not, because I've received other offers of judgments in the past in accordance with Rule 68. If costs are not specifically mentioned, they're automatically included by operation of law.
And of course, when you sent your response back, you said $30,000 plus costs.
Right.
You never heard from defense counsel after that.
No. And I'd like to reserve the rest of my time then for rebuttal.
Fine. Counsel?
Morning, Your Honors. My name is Linda Doyle, and I represent Highland Managed Care in this matter. The issue before you is whether the district court correctly held that Highland's Rule 68 offer unambiguously discharged Highland's liability for attorney's fees and costs. The court held that Highland's offer was unambiguous and that it included costs and fees in the text. The court also held, and Ms. Belkowski concedes, that she accepted the order. The text of Highland's offer demonstrates that it was not ambiguous and that it included costs and fees in the $30,000.
What about Mr. Rossiello's response that it was $30,000 plus costs?
Mr. Rossiello did add the words plus costs to the offer of judgment. We immediately notified Mr. Rossiello's office that his addition was improper.
In writing?
Yes, and we heard nothing. The next step, Your Honor, there was also simultaneous proceedings where Mr. Rossiello was trying to freeze Highland's assets, which are mentioned in the brief. The next thing we heard on the Rule 68 offer of judgment as entered after we specifically told Mr. Rossiello that it was inappropriate to add plus costs was we got a copy of the order as entered from the court with the word plus costs, despite the fact that we told Mr. Rossiello that that was inappropriate. We addressed this issue with Judge Leyenweber. We did not move to vacate the offer as accepted with plus costs because we wanted our Rule 68 offer as offered to stand. We addressed the issue with Judge Leyenweber in the district court. We explained to him Mr. Rossiello's tactic of adding the word plus cost.
How did the plus cost get into the judgment order?
Mr. Rossiello's office added it to our offer. Our original.
I understand that. I mean, physically, Judge Leyenweber entered an order of judgment. How did he add plus cost?
Well, Your Honor, that's interesting. As Ms. Pelkowski's counsel admits in the papers, the clerk asked Ms. Pelkowski's counsel to draft the order. Ms. Pelkowski's counsel, Mr. Rossiello's office, drafted the order with the words plus cost, even after we told him that that was not our offer. In the papers, Mr. Rossiello disingenuously blames the court clerk, talking about ministerial versus discretionary functions. But there's no issue. Mr. Rossiello added the words plus cost to the offer, thus changing our offer without our permission. We took this issue up with the district court. Judge Leyenweber agreed with us that our offer didn't say plus costs, but included costs and fees in the $30,000 based on the text of our offer.
The reason you got before Judge Leyenweber was because Mr. Rossiello was trying to collect his costs. Why didn't you move to vacate Judge Leyenweber's order when you saw it said with costs?
Because we wanted our Rule 68 offer of judgment as offered to stand, and there's no requirement to vacate. We knew Mr. Rossiello was going to file a motion for fees. He told us so in writing. We addressed the issue in front of the judge, and the judge agreed with us that adding plus costs was inappropriate. It was against our initial offer. Our initial offer, our Rule 68 offer, is what governed, and it clearly included costs and fees. Mr. Rossiello's tactic in this case is to add the word plus costs, ignore our response that that was inappropriate, file it with the court, not serve a copy on us, and try to sneak this by the district court. We reacted.
Do you believe that the response was an acceptance of your offer?
I believe not with the word.
How do you accept an offer when you don't agree to the terms of it?
Well, if Judge Leyenweber ruled that the adding of the word plus cost was of no moment and that Ms. Pelkowski clearly accepted our offer as written, if you say that adding the word plus cost was anything, it was a counteroffer, Your Honor. It was not an acceptance of our offer.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
However, after that, assuming you call it a counteroffer, which I say it's not, if you look at the text of both Nordby and Webb, which discuss counteroffer.
But he added language that wasn't in your offer.
That's right, and we took that issue up with Judge Leyenweber. We had a hearing on that issue. Judge Leyenweber, and at this point, Ms. Pelkowski did not have the check. We had a hearing before Judge Leyenweber on this issue of what plus costs meant in terms of our Rule 68 offer of judgment. After that, after the judge ruled on that issue, I sent a letter to Mr. Rossiello with the $30,000 check plus statutory interest stating that this was in full satisfaction of all of Ms. Pelkowski's claims against us, essentially mirroring our Rule 68 offer of judgment. Ms. Pelkowski received the check and cashed it. Therefore, she accepted as
the money was. Did you write that on the back of the check?
We wrote on the Ray line in full satisfaction and wrote it in the Texas letter. In fact, Mr. Rossiello returned the check to me four times, I believe because he didn't like those words. Ultimately, after Judge Leyenweber's ruling on this issue, Ms. Pelkowski cashed the $30,000 check. I mean, we believe we were not required to move to vacate. We wanted our Rule 68 offer to stand. We explained Mr. Rossiello's tactics, including failing to serve us. I mean, Mr. Rossiello was blaming this on the clerk.
Can you repeat that again? What is this, a four-time issue?
Mr. Rossiello returned our check to us. He finally accepted it the fourth time. I'm sorry. He returned it three times.
Right.
Because I put in full satisfaction in the cover letter and on the Ray line. He was also attempting to freeze our assets so he could pursue collection costs for all of this check returning back and forth that occurred over the course of six business days. If you turn, Your Honor, to the text of our offer of judgment, it's clear. It states $30,000 in full and complete settlement.
I understand that.
And we believe Nordby control.
Right.
Thank you, Your Honor. One thing I just want to address is there's a lot of reference to Mr. Raciello's tactics. Although I worked with Mr. Raciello, this was my case. I was the one who made the decisions in this case. I did confer with Mr. Raciello, but I don't want the misconception that Ms. Doyle's trying to make that Mr. Raciello had certain tactics he was involved in this matter. This case, I accepted on behalf of my client the offer and hand-delivered our offer, or our acceptance of the offer, to the defendant myself. I dropped it off at their office.
That really what it was, a counteroffer?
I don't believe it was a counteroffer, no, because it was silent on cost.
But you added cost, and they didn't talk about cost.
Right, but Rule 68 would have allowed us cost regardless whether the words were used or not. We were just clarifying it.
Well, but they said $30,000, and then they had the next paragraph is a full and complete settlement and indicates that there's no other amount to be collected.
For all claims, which is different from the cost of the suit.
So your position is you were making that distinction.
Right.
And that's why you added with cost.
Right. Clarifying that we were accepting it under Rule 68 and the operation of law that costs are included unless there's something to establish that they're not included.
Did you mention to your opposing counsel that you considered the attorney fees to be in addition to the $30,000?
Actually, the day before they had offered us $30,000, which we turned down because it did not include attorney fees. Therefore, when I got the Rule 68 offer the following day, $30,000 under Rule 68, I assumed that they were going to give us the $30,000 and take the chance to go before Judge Leinenweber to see what reasonable attorney fees would be.
Hey, is that why you kept sending it back and forth?
The check? No, there's a lot more facts involved in this case
I mean, it's sort of unusual that you obviously understood that they weren't paying costs, and until they put it on the check, and they put on that they were not going to pay costs, but this was in full satisfaction.
Right, that's why we returned the check.
Because you weren't satisfied.
Right.
And that remains on the check until this date, is that right?
No, it does not.
Well, what's on the check now?
Nothing's on the check.
Check you cash has no notation on there about release.
No. And we made clear that we were...
Who took it off the check?
We didn't. We received a check. Our client cashed it.
And what was on the check at the time it was cashed?
Just the case number, my recollection, because we went through this back and forth, because we were not going to...
So you're saying a new check was cut that didn't have the re at the bottom, as counsel said?
What counsel said was not on the check itself. It was in a letter that she prepared with the check.
She said it was on the check and in a letter.
It was in the letter.
She said it was on the bottom line of the check, the reference line. You heard me?
Not,
didn't you ask?
I'm not sure what she just said, but the check that was cashed by my client did not have a restrictive endorsement on the bottom or on the back or anywhere. And the reason we finally cashed the check was because Judge Leinenweber instructed us to do so because the issue is now appealable. He said that he instructed us to go ahead, accept the check. The issue was resolved essentially at his level.
So this would be in the transcript of the hearing, the matters we just discussed here now, about the check?
We didn't discuss the check at the hearing.
Well, did Judge Leinenweber tell you to go ahead and cash the check? Just in chambers or...
Oh, I see what you mean. No, we didn't discuss what we just discussed here, what was written on the check, but he did say that this was the final, that he resolved the matter.
And to cash the check.
He did not specifically instruct that, but that was...
Well, then you're adding words. Did he or did he not tell you to cash the check?
It was my understanding. That's what he was... He did not use those specific words, but that was my understanding of what he was instructing me to do at that time.
So what did he say?
I don't have the transcript in front of me, but the impression I received from the judge was that the issue was, he resolved the issue according to how he was going to resolve it.
He ruled on the motion.
Right, he ruled on the motion, that's it, it's over, if you don't like it, go ahead and appeal, but at this point in time, that's what his ruling was.
And that there will be no cost added.
Correct,
That's what he said at that time.
And that's the agreement that you went out and cashed it?
No, we never agreed that cost would not be...
Well, you went out and cashed it, didn't you?
Our client cashed the check, yes.
Right. Okay.
And but you're saying that the issue, because the court had ruled and it was appealable, that the issue was preserved, is that your position?
That's exactly what
and
my position is.
It would come up to the Court of Appeals, and the Court of Appeals would determine whether or not the cost would be allowed?
Exactly. That's exactly what my position is.
Right.
Rather than holding up your client.
Exactly.
Client.
Thank you.
Huh? All right, counsel, can you produce that check to the court? You will?
Yes, I will endeavor to do so.
Thank you kindly. From the bank, a photostatic copy of it, Bob, or the check itself, and send her a copy of whatever you're sending to the court.
Yes.
Can you do that within 10 days, please?
Yes, I will.
Or advise the court in writing why it cannot be done within that time limitation. Thank you kindly.
And can I just ask one other question? Yes. This discussion you had, I mean, in terms of the transcript that we have, there is no other transcript we need, is there, relating to this matter?
I don't believe so.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure we had a complete record.
I'll double check that.
Any other transcript that you know of from the other court, from the lower court?
No, Your Honor.
Okay.
Thank you
all
kindly.
Right.
Thank you very much for your help, both of you. We will proceed to case number 5, the United States versus